Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a Apple review, and this one comes from Brie the Cheese 21. I love Brie cheese.
It is delicious.
It love is it. Pretty good, yeah.
And it says, work listener. All right, girl.
Work listener.
You better work. These girls are the best. Can't get enough of this podcast. I tell all my horny little rat friends, keep me laughing at work. P.S. Read Kink Camp series. Do you guys know what that is?
No, but it sounds fun.
You gotta look it up.
All right. Camp. Thank you.
Thank you.
So sweet.
And this month, we made Riley read His Flame, a firefighter curvy girl romance by Jessa Joy. And Shelby, why are we reading this book?
Oh, because the fire alarm went off at my work and I saw the hottest firefighter to ever exist. And I said, you know what? We should be doing one of those.
We need one of them.
Give me a firefighter romance.
Yeah, and then we found another firefighter romance to cover. Was it this month, next month? In a few weeks, we'll have another full episode of firefighter.
Hell yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many stars did you give this on Goodreads, Riley?
Well, it's not on Goodreads.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
No, the book's on Goodreads. I meant I didn't put it on Goodreads.
Oh. I said, oh, obscure.
I think I give it like a 2.5. I mean, it was very cutesy, very like wholesome. It was cute.
Okay. I love that.
But it wasn't like
smutty,
off the wall.
Crazy.
No, I need like something weird in it, I think, now, unfortunately.
Dang it.
Because like, I'm reading this after I read Thick Beef. Thick Beef was like my bread and butter.
I loved Thick Beef.
It was so good. But this was good.
Okay.
We begin in our female main character's POV, and her name is Mila. She's recently relocated to this small town, and the town is called Snowflake.
Cute.
Oh, okay. Cutesy. This whole book actually gives me like Hallmark movie vibes. That's what it is.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like a little Hallmark movie.
Cute.
But she recently moved here with her sister Ava. Ava hands Mila a PB&J sandwich through her car window and gives her a little pep talk before she leaves for her first day of work. Ava got Mila this job at the town's firehouse as a cook for the firefighters. They say their goodbyes and Mila heads to the firehouse, Guns N' Roses blasting through her stereo. She's super into 80s and 90s rock right now.
Okay.
Mila arrives at the big red brick building and she really can't believe she's doing this. She loves to cook but clams up meeting new people. And what do you even feed firefighters? Girl, food.
They're people.
Yeah, they're real human beings like me and you. She gets her car out of her car and wheels it around to the back door and knocks. A tall, pretty woman with curly red hair answers the door and says, "Hey, you must be Mila. I'm Savannah." She tells her everyone is out on a call at the moment and shows her where the kitchen is. She tells her about the firehouse dog, Ember, who belongs to the former chief.
That's adorable.
That is so very cute.
Is it a Dalmatian? What is it?
It doesn't even say what it is.
Oh my god.
Tragic.
I know. The dog belongs to the former chief Atlas King. Brock Thompson, big guy with scars, is the new chief.
Like burn scars?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll find out like more details later, but yeah. Savannah leaves for the day, and we also never see her again, so.
Oh, what? Bye, Savannah.
Bye.
She's not important.
Why'd they even give her a name?
She was just a stranger. She just walked into the building.
Literally, I don't know why she's here. And Mila starts to get busy in the kitchen. She left her regular apron at home, so she's sporting her frilly pink one. She lays out a plate of chocolate chip cookies and starts making chicken parmesan for the guys. As Mila is prepping the food, Ember sneaks in and jumps up to sniff the cookies. Mila shoos her away and turns back to the oven when she hears a chomping noise behind her. She turns around to see Miss Ember has an entire wrapped block of cheese in her mouth.
Just give it to her.
Give her the cheese. Pay the cheese tax.
Take it. Mila chases Ember out the house and into the backyard. Ember is playing like a game of catch me if you can, and Mila is finally able to get her hands on her. She gets the cheese out of her mouth, and then all of a sudden, a loud alarm is going off in the firehouse with a recording stating there's a fire and they need to vacate.
She just caught her brand new job on fire?
Yep. Yep.
Oh my God.
Of course, Mila is like, oh shit, did I forget to put water for the potatoes on the stove? So there's just like raw potatoes sitting on the stove with no water.
Absolute idiot.
And she books it back inside. She runs through the kitchen door and slams into a big, haughty hunk of a man, still in his uniform. He's tall, buff as fuck, dark hair, piercing green eyes, and scars running up his right arm and neck. The firefighter says, so, I'm guessing you're my new hire?
Oh. I'd be like, you're fired, you dumb idiot.
Get out. This is the fire department. You started a fire.
Yeah, why would he fuck her? Yeah. She's dumb.
They don't care about that. They just care about looks. Men are stupid.
That's true.
Yeah, Clayton.
You're listening, Clayton. This is about you.
Yeah. Lydia doesn't want you. Leave her alone. We are now in Brock's POV, and he thinks Mila is
fine. Same as Brock.
His name is Brock.
No.
I know. Who names a baby Brock?
Imagine. This is my son.
Brock.
Brock.
It's short for broccoli. She's a petite brunette with big brown eyes and cute freckles. And she's also very curvy. Curvy, cute girl. She seems to be pretty shy, so he tries to joke about her starting a fire. And she just blinks at him and says, she doesn't see a fire. He tells her that alarm goes off if there's smoke and points at the stove and says, don't you usually put water in a pot with an open flame underneath? Mila looks embarrassed and like, you should be.
As should be.
Yeah. And tells him the dog stole the cheese and she was just trying to get it back. Brock asks Ember if that's correct, and Ember gives him a little woof back, so he's like, yeah, checks out.
Right.
He asks her what she's making, and as she's walking over to the stove, he can't help but to check her out.
Oh. I could hold on to those curvy hips, kissing the smooth line of her neck as my cock plunges into her from behind. Oh. She just set the kitchen on fire. Why are you thinking about this?
And he's just like, yeah, I want to put my dick in that.
She's dumb.
He says, but she's hot.
Yeah, I can't fuck her brain.
Men are stupid. Mila tells him chicken parm, mashed potatoes, and chocolate pudding. She also brought tomorrow's dishes because she works one day on and one day off. They chat a little, and Brock asks her when supper will be ready. She tells him maybe 10 minutes and asks if there's a bell she should ring, and he's like, you can just set the fire alarm off again.
Also, you're gonna make mashed potatoes in 10 minutes? You don't have water boiling.
She's a chef and she's using instant potatoes.
That would be so funny.
She's actually like a horrible cook. And the mashed potatoes are just like raw potatoes smashed up.
They're ready.
He's like, crunchy.
Thank you.
This is my 10-minute potatoes.
Brock heads to the living room to let the guys know to get ready for supper. All the guys make their way to the dining room, and Brock asks Mila if she needs any help. She smiles at him and tells him no, no, and she hopes he likes it. He is smitten. He has a big old crush on her. It's now been 1 week working at the firehouse, and Mila has fallen into a regular routine. However, the one man she really wants to impress seems to be avoiding her. There's just something about Brock's calm presence and big frame that makes her stomach flip. Mila is in the kitchen making beef stew when Brock walks in and he just stares at her. Mila asks him if he's hungry and he says yes, but asks if she will eat with him. She says sure. She likes her own cooking, which I thought was funny because she just was like, yeah, I like my own cooking.
Yeah, girl, as you should.
Yeah. I hope you do. He tells her the guys can't believe their luck with her meals. He was the one cooking for the guys before, and let's just say he was not the best cook. He asks her what got her into cooking, and she tells him her grandma owned a restaurant 40 years ago, so she grew up around it. He asks why no restaurant for her, and she says dealing with customers, no way. And I get it. She's a shy girl. It starts storming outside, and Mila says she should start heading home. She didn't bring a rain jacket and wants to get home before it gets too heavy. Brock asks her why she didn't drive in, and she tells him her sister Ava brought her because her car isn't working. And big, haughty, strong Brock says, nay, nay, girl, I am taking you home. So he does.
Oh.
Mila tries to dispute it, and he says, no, baby girl, I am fire chief. I must protect you. And she says, yep. Brock brings his truck around back, and Mila hops in the front seat. She's got to squeeze her thighs together being this close to Brock. They chat about his family a little bit on their way to her house, but the conversation stops when she asks him about his dad. So she asks him, like, hey, what about your dad? And he just immediately ignores her. He says nothing. Oh. I would not put up with that. I would be like, hey.
I asked you a question.
Yeah, you have to answer me. When they pull up in front of her house, he looks over at her and asks if he could come in for a glass of water. And at first she's like, is that a line? Are you just trying to come in? And he's like, no, no, I'll drink my glass of water and leave.
Weird. Just like, wait till you get home then.
Yeah. You freak. Swallow some spit. I don't know.
Yeah. Swallow your spit.
Yeah. Just gotta wet your whistle. Yeah. Just a little like, see? I'm quenched. I'll be good for like the next 10 minutes. She says, sure. It's pouring rain at this point, so Mila uses her bag to cover her head, and Brock pulls her closer to him so she can use his umbrella as they walk up to her porch. He remembers who lived here before her, Miss Brettle and her cats, and asks if she was able to get the cat smell out. She asks how he knew about the cats and tells him, yeah, but one of the cats made their way back to the house, so she's caring for it until Mrs. Brettle can come collect him. Brock tells her he's rescued this cat more times than he can count, you know, because he's a fireman. Rescuing cats. Yeah. Doing those things. They head inside and Mila gets a glass of water from the kitchen for Brock. Brock tells her he's sorry for going quiet when she asked him about his dad. It's just hard for him to talk about. She tells him he doesn't have to tell her anything he doesn't want to. And he tells her he does want to tell her. His dad was driving Brock and his sister home one day when a drunk driver hit them. His dad was able to save them. And when he went to save the other driver, the roof collapsed on him. Like the car roof. I got confused when I was reading it. It's the car roof.
Is that very heavy?
I don't really know.
A car roof?
For him, it was. Could have been a big metal car.
Maybe it was the flame as well.
Yeah, I think it was.
Stupid way to die.
I've never had a car roof fall on me.
I just don't imagine them to be like heavy enough to kill you, especially as a full grown man.
But he was just hit by a drunk driver. He wasn't fully well.
I feel like he'd just be like, ah, fuck. But instead he died.
You're going to get hit by a drunk driver. It'd be totally fine. And then you're going to die under a car roof.
Of the driver that hit you.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you, guy.
Yeah. I'd be like, catch on fire. I don't care.
He's sworn to protect.
That's true. He was a firefighter.
He should have known better.
I don't know what to tell you. That's how it was written.
That's a stupid way for a firefighter to die.
Take it up with her.
I want to say that I feel like the roof of a car is maybe 50 pounds and it's like 6 inches above your head. That's not going to kill you.
Yeah, but what if it was like a fucking 1980 Ford Bronco?
Was he saving OJ Simpson?
Maybe.
No, a drunk driver.
It's like arguably the lightest part of a car.
Did he get trapped? Let's hope he got trapped.
No, she said it fell on his head and killed him.
He was driving my sister and me back home when a drunk driver crashed into us. Both vehicles went up in flames. He got us both out, then went to save the truck driver. He got inside, but the part of the roof collapsed. I tried to get him out. So he was on fire.
Okay, because I'm seeing that the weight of a car roof is typically between 50 to 150 pounds.
And imagine being on fire when that falls on you.
I guess, but that's just like a person falling on your head real quick. That's not going to kill you.
But he's also on fire. Fire.
Yeah, but if anyone's trained to like withstand the heat, it would be him.
Yeah, but he's not in his gear. What are you guys doing?
I just feel like it's a silly way to die.
He's a firefighter that died in fire.
He could have died any way possible, but a car roof fell on his head and he died.
While he was on fire. You're missing a key point.
Okay, the flames are key. The flames are key. Okay, okay.
Like, I could not imagine pushing 100 pounds off me if I was on fire. Mila says she's sorry and asks if that's how he got his scars, and he nods, which I was like, insensitive bitch. Why would you ask that?
Oh, so is that what fucked you up?
Yeah. Is that what happened to your face? I've been dying to ask. She steps closer to him and tells him she appreciates him sharing that with her. He reaches up and pushes a lock of her hair away from her face. She stands on her tiptoes and touches the scar in his face and he flinches. She asks him if it hurts and he tells her no, he's just not used to someone touching him in this way.
I take her hand and place it back on my face. My cock is rock hard, pressing against the seam of my jeans, all of my senses focused on her. All I want to do is get closer.
So he's got a boner because she touched his face?
Yeah. Men are simple creatures.
Right after they talked about his dead dad. Yeah.
She strokes his cheek and he pulls her in closer. He decides, fuck it, and leans down and kisses her. They're making out and he's squeezing her booty, but then the crockpot alarm goes off and Mila pushes him away.
Seems like she burns things a lot.
I know. It's a tiny bit awkward now, so Brock tells her he has to go back to work and that he'll see her tomorrow. She reminds him that it's the weekend and she doesn't work. She also has a party to cater in Bakersville. He tells her he will see her next week then, and they say their goodbyes. Brock is back at the firehouse now and walks into the kitchen to see Maverick, one of the firefighters, eating some of Mila's beef stew she made. He tells Brock that Mila can really cook. She's also really pretty, and says that he bet someone will wife her up soon. And this makes Brock see red.
Oh my god, that's my girl.
He gets in Maverick's face and says, are you intending on doing that? And Maverick says, whoa, whoa, we won't talk about the new girl. And then they just chat about fireman stuff.
About that fire.
Oh, fire.
That was a crazy one. Got it out. Put water on it.
And Brock cannot get Mila out of his head, but he's conflicted because he's the fire chief and he cannot be kissing his new employee. Mila is in Bakersfield, a little ways away from their town of Snowflake, catering a frat party. She's in the kitchen preparing food when one of the idiot frat boys start a fire on the grill outside, catching the grill and a tree on fire. That same frat boy burned his hand in the fire, so Mila helps him inside and puts his hand under cool running water. She calls the firehouse and they say they'll be right there. And I was like, why wouldn't you call that city's fire department? You freak.
Also, why are you catering and also grilling?
Yeah. What's happening here? But the firemen say they'll be right there.
In 30 minutes, though, because she didn't call the closest fire department.
Yeah. They should have also said, like, hey, ma'am, maybe call that town's fire department. But they don't. Moments later, the firefighters show up and Brock immediately comes to check on his girl, Mila. She tells him she's all good, explains what happens, and gathers her stuff to leave. After she loads up her car, she tries to start it, but of course it's not working. Brock taps on her window and offers to help. He puts some oil in her engine. Dumb bitch. And tells her to scooch. He's not letting her drive home alone, so he drives her car.
That's all it needed was some oil.
He said your oil was low. Fill it up. Oh, look, it's running. How has this girl survived?
I know, I'm like, you're stupid.
She can't cook potatoes. She's driving her car with no oil.
She lets a dog take her cheese. Idiot. He asks her why her car smells like tomato sauce, and she says it's the lasagna she made for the frat boys. She's just gonna take it home and eat it by herself so it doesn't go to waste.
An entire lasagna? Yeah.
I wouldn't tell somebody that I'm gonna go do that. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm so skinny, I'm just gonna put it in my fridge and not eat it and let it go to waste. He asks about her sister, and she tells him she's out of town for the night, and he's like, oh, well, I'd like to eat some lasagna with you.
Oh, God.
I'm actually really hungry.
When they're back at Mila's house, Brock carries her stuff in and sets the lasagna on the counter. She asks if she should heat some up, and he says he can think of something else he'd rather heat up.
Oh, my God.
She laughs and pulls him in close, and he buries his head in her neck. They have a cute little moment, and then she tells him she must feed him since he worked all day. They sit at the table and enjoy their food together, chit-chatting. He asks if it's inappropriate that he's having dinner with her, and she says, no.
It is, though.
It is. Fire chief employee.
Did she get paid for this catering event and then just take her food back?
Yeah. The frat boys were grilling. They've got it under control. Yeah,
they got food. Keep the money, girl.
She probably brought her weird ass mashed potatoes and they were like, oh, we'll just make our own food.
Yeah, it's probably why they were using the grill.
Probably.
I can think of far more inappropriate things I'd like you to do to me. My cheeks are bright red. Brock stands up and walks over to me. I'm so glad you said that. Ever since I first saw you, I've been thinking of things I want to do to you.
Broccoli.
You naughty.
Brock pulls her up from her seat and pushes her up against the counter. They make out passionately, touching each other's bodies. Brock says they should head upstairs. And like the man he is, he carries her all the way up there. Because, you know, she's curvy.
Fireman carry.
Oh, yeah. She tells him which room is hers and he tosses her on the bed. They undress and kiss and he gets to carpet munching.
Yeah.
His tongue circles my swollen bud, tasting every inch of my wetness, and it's almost unbearably pleasurable. He continues his exploration, sliding two fingers into me and pressing against my G-spot, making me whimper. Go off, Brock.
Sounds like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
She's digging her fingers in his hair, and it's just wave after wave of pleasure. She screams his name as she comes, and she tells him she wants to feel him inside her.
He stands up and unbuttons his pants. His enormous cock springs free and my eyes widen. He kneels on the bed, lining himself up with my sopping wet entrance.
Oh,
yeah, he does.
Disgusting. As his thumb circles my clit. Slowly, he pushes the tip inside me and I moan. You're so big. Tell me you like it. His voice is a growl. I love feeling your big cock inside me. I want you to fill me up.
Fill her up.
Fill up her sopping wet vagina.
Do it. They have a nice, lovely missionary fuck and explosive orgasms and fall asleep together. Brock wakes up early in the morning while Mila is still sleeping. He showers, feeds the cat, and heads to the firehouse. He is unusually chipper this morning, and Maverick notices, but Brock tells him no questions. They have a presentation for a bunch of school kids this morning. After the presentation, Brock heads back to Mila's house. Ava answers the door and asks if he's Brock, and he says yes, and he'd like to see Mila. And she says, no, you aren't going to one-night stand my sister and come back here with your tail behind your legs. And he tells her, no, I can explain. He just had a presentation.
Yeah, he had to go to work.
He tells her he can explain and to just let him see Mila. She says fine, and he heads to Mila's room. She looks like she had been crying, and he runs to her and tells her he just had a presentation. He wasn't leaving her. She tells him she was devastated.
Oh my God.
Girl,
stage five clinger. This is a red flag.
Literally. And he says, girl, I love you.
Oh, oh end my game. God.
And they kiss and make up. We're in the epilogue. Brock and Mila have opened their own business. It's 6 months later. It's called Mila's Meals, and it's a ready-to-cook meal service. Mila arrives at the firehouse, and it's eerily quiet, and there's no one there. She goes into the kitchen to prepare some food, and the fire alarm starts going off. She turns around to see Brock coming out of the pantry with a smile on his face, and he turns off the alarm. He gets down on one knee and proposes. She says yes. The whole fire crew comes around the corner and cheers. The end.
He was just hiding in the pantry?
Yeah, he was.
Like a fucking weirdo?
He's waiting for her.
That's terrifying.
I know.
Wow. What a story.
I know. It was a good one.
It's so romantic.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It was very vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've been jaded. We need weirder books.
Yep.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.